This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Cuts Clothing. Leslie, appreciate you making the time to be on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, man. Really appreciate it.
We met earlier in the year, I think it was, and I saw some of your work on Instagram, your artwork. Really got my attention because I knew there was an interesting story to tell behind all that. You know, just the detail of it. I know you've done some great work, but just the detail of it and to hear your story when we first met from, you know, moving from Moreton settlement to Australia, I wanted to dig a bit deeper into that. I know we spoke earlier in the year about it, but you know, I'd love for us to have it on recording so we can share it to either the rest of PNG or, you know, others around the world and see what we can find from there.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited. Like, yeah, I'm happy to share. I'm excited to get it out there.
And I'm excited for the world to see your work. And I'll be sharing it on my Instagram, my platform, as much as I can, so people we can draw some more attention to that. Because I wanted for you to be on here to give some hope to, you know, people back home. And I know you're creating a good life for yourself here now in Australia. Mm-hmm. What are your plans now here in Australia moving forward?
Oh, yeah. I just graduated from National Art School. So at the moment, I'm thinking of, like, I got some other plans of doing my extra study or doing masters and stuff. But, like, I just want to do some more exhibitions to put my work out there because you have to reach as much as people. But, like, if you want to reach people... It's people out
and that's in,
like,
in the art world.
The only thing is to go through, like, doing exhibitions.
Yeah.
So that's the point that I am at the moment. But yeah, that's what I want to do here in the next few, like, months ahead and stuff. But yeah.
That's awesome. And so whereabouts did you grow up in PNG?
Oh, yes. I grew up all my life with my other four siblings. We grew up in Moreton. In the suburb of Moreton. It's a really rough part of Port Moresby. And if anybody knows about Port Moresby, anyone will know about Moreton. Mm-hmm. But it's a really, like, when you see from another perspective, it's so different. But as someone who grew up there, it's home to me.
Yeah.
And I really love my friends I'm growing up with and the people that I knew. Everyone are like family to me. So it's a thing about PNG that I like, is everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the settlement, when you're living in there, the perspective is very different inside than when it is from the outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a completely different perspective because of, you know, the way when you see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you think someone from outside of the settlement would see, what would their perspective be of that?
It's always like the perspectives is like it's a place where there's rascals and
where
there's always trouble. And if you want to go there, like, people, you're going to be careful because, oh yeah, if you go there, you're going to be robbed.
Yeah.
You can be, you know, so it has a repetition of that. Like, if you see if you live in other part of, like, Port Moresby or and towns and stuff like that, but it's a really home of, like, really great people coming out of there, even though it's a,
yeah,
it's a really, you know, low kind of
I would say, like, socioeconomic standard of living.
Mm-hmm. But I think recently it's changing, so it's good to see.
So, but there's people living in the settlements. They want a better life. They're trying to create a good living environment there. You're one of them, and you're saying there's many more in that community as well.
Yes, they definitely, they are like, the thing is, they some like, I'm so happy that you invited me to do this because they needed some inspiration or someone to, you know, show a light to them. Like, there's always a way to go and to achieve, like, what you wanted to achieve, even though you can come from, like, you know.
Probably not so much hope there.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I wanted to get you on here because, well, first of all, your work's pretty amazing in the art space, and I want to give a bit more hope to, you know, people living in the settlements because it's it can be tough. Life can be tough. I never lived there amongst it. I grew up in the village in Tubus area. Mm-hmm. Life is a lot more simple and easier there, mm-hmm. I believe. And, you know, there's tough places to live everywhere, and it's always relative to how you're growing up. But yeah, I just want to get a bit more of your story. So how did the opportunity for you to come to Australia happen?
It's quite a story because coming to here, it's just like you, as a child, you always dream of a place or like, and you thought about them. But I mean, you when you look at the situation, like, man, it's not going to happen. Like, and that's the kind of thing. And one thing is that what I knew as a kid is that I want to travel. I want to see places and I want to explore other cultures and stuff, even though I had this kind of ambition and I wouldn't know that I will kind of get out of, and I can come out and, you know, live in a place like here. And it's really like an eye-opening, but it's at the same time, it's cultural shock, but there's so much opportunity,
yeah,
like outside here than back home. And that's the thing, like, I felt like, yeah, I was so blessed to come out here because of what I am good at, you know, creating art and paintings and stuff. And yeah, I think I got discovered by this lawyer back in Port Moresby. He kind of found what I did and stuff. And he commissioned me and stuff to do some work and to paint some paintings and stuff. And while I was doing that, I kind of looking researching to like get out for do some residency or something like that.
Yeah. And so were you going to school at the time?
I was finishing my grade 12 in 2017, and after that I was accepted to go to one of the university in PAU, like one of Pacific Advantage University back in PNZ. And that was in 2018, and I was supposed to go there, but then I withdrew from the school because I just want to pursue my career as an artist. And I took this whole year off and just work as an artist. And while I do that, I got discovered, yeah.
And so you're working at home?
I was working at home, yeah.
Yeah, and leading up to that, were you always drawing?
Yeah, I do kind of a drawing is, I do drawing since I was like, I would say 5 or 6, yeah. Because drawing, I've been always drawing because I remember my first drawing was of my grandfather, and it was so beautiful that everyone sees it, and they were so shocked because the painting, the drawing looks like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I actually destroyed that drawing because I told my dad, hey, you know, as a kid, you know, I don't know much about, you know, keeping my work and stuff, but I told my dad to print it.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and then I was like, nah, I'm bending it off.
Oh yeah, yeah. It wasn't good enough, or
it was so good. No, drawing is so good, yeah. But I don't know, like, why I destroy it is just for like printing it.
And yeah,
So I was, that was when I was 6 or 5 or something. So
yeah,
but I can still remember that. But yeah, drawing is part of myself. I would say growing up is, I becoming fun to draw, even though I got so many interests in other things.
Like, yeah.
Like everything I got interested in, but drawing and art has always been my drive. Like I'm one of those kids where in school where people are like, oh, artist,
yeah.
If you want to draw, so, yeah. So I'm one of those.
Yeah, people. I remember those, yeah, kids at school. Yeah, that's so probably the kids I got the strongest memory of in school.
Yeah,
you know, grade 1 to 6 in the village, kids that could draw. You know, I couldn't draw a triangle. Yeah. You know. But yeah, so you found that you were pretty good at a young age, and then up until, yeah, high school when you graduated, then you took a year in just doing artwork?
Yes.
And then how did you get, what was the moment like when you got discovered?
It was kind of a, like, what would you say? Like, I the thing is that, because one thing about the culture in PNG, like not culture in PNG, but you know, the if you know thing about the family in PNGs, like always your parents and like you, they have your family or your members and stuff, they have high expectations of you to achieve something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose stuff, you have to think, you know, think pretty much like not of only your family only, but of your tribesmen and your village and your clan and everybody. So like if someone goes to university, it's like, it's a big deal. So like everyone celebrates and it's like they kill pig for you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a big thing. And in the family, not many people go to universities. So when I saw my name, I was so happy. Like, my family were so happy, but in me, I wasn't so happy at all. Like, I was like, good.
To get into uni?
Yeah, get into uni. Yeah. Like, I'm like, awesome, yeah. But that's it. But the thing too, when I choose art and like I when I withdraw from the school, like they wasn't so happy with like my decision at first.
Mm-hmm.
Especially even some of my brothers, like they wasn't so happy. But on the way, I proved them. And when I got discovered and stuff, and when I started to make some money doing exhibitions and painting commissions and doing those things, I started to earn something in 1 year. I actually make a good, like, you know, impression to my family, and they were like, oh, well.
And so how are you making your income? Just on the street selling the art, or?
Really, like, the thing is that I used to sell art on the street, like, when I was back in primary school.
Oh, okay, so you've been doing it for a while. So
I've been doing it for a while. I've been doing painting for, like, since I was, like, 14, 13.
Yeah, and actually getting an income from
an income from that, I've been like self-subsistent for so long. Like, I wasn't relying much on my family. Like, if I want to go to watch a movie, I just sell my art and go to the cinema and like doing things like that. Or even if I want to buy my things that I like I just I do sell stuff for like 5 kina, 20 kina.
That is awesome. Yeah.
And then it started to increase over time.
Yeah,
but I was very young when I do those things, but as I grew up, I started to realize how valuable my art is and how I can, if I create a piece, it's more than just a piece to be put on the street and to sell it. I wanted it to be presented in a way that it's suited its quality.
Yeah.
So I started to put it in like in exhibitions. There's exhibitions of sews in when they organize some events and stuff. I put it out there to. And you know, and then I make some good bucks from that. Yeah, so,
the income was enough for you to live off, and
to live off from it,
to help provide for the family as well.
Yeah, it is, and I do some save up and stuff on my way, and I try to save as much as I can or whatever. Because the thing is that I wanted to go to like art university. It's college is like so. It's my dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's to go to like art college and do some, and. So I applied to few courses, like colleges up like around the world and stuff. I just like applied, not in PNG. I said like, there's national art school in PNG, but I'm like, I'm looking.
You want
to
explore the
world. I want to explore the world. Yeah. So I actually applied to as many universities, but I wasn't thinking about Australia. I applied to like schools in Paris and then in Italy, someplace like Spain and stuff, and I just applied to all this while I was working in with this. I was working with Greg Shepherd, which is I do this commission and stuff while I was there. And when I was working there, I got accepted in Florence Academy of Art, and I was like, oh well, okay. So man, Florence, Italy, come on, let's go. So I saved up as much as I can, and I. The thing is that man, this is where I'm going to go. And then when I do that, I also apply to few art residency, like art events and stuff. And it wasn't like, because it's a long way from home, and I didn't know that if I can make it there or something, I don't know. But I just got this faith that I can get there if I push a little bit longer. So I did it. I got accepted in one of the residency in Paris. So I was on my way to Australia. Because if you want to go to Europe, you have to come here. get your visa here. I do your visa here.
And so then you got to get it all done in Australia and then
and
go to Europe.
Go to Europe, yeah. And while I was on my way here, that was 2018. Was over, so that was in 2019. I saw 2018, by end of 2018. First time ever flew out of the country. Yeah, it was.
What was that like when you landed in there? Was it Brisbane Airport or Sydney?
It was in Sydney.
Yeah.
First place in.
What was your initial reaction when you walked off the plane?
Oh, man. Like coming out, it's like, it's so big. Everything is big.
Yeah.
The airport. It's like, come out of there, like, shit, where's it go? I just follow the crowd. And there was no one there, you know, to pick you up or whatever. Like, it just myself getting out of the plane. First time. Go down. I went to I was like, where's the taxi? So it's like, try to figure out stuff. And yeah, somehow, yeah. And then I ended up in.
Plans? Was someone going to wait for you in Sydney or did you just turn up?
I just turned up, yeah.
Yeah.
No one there.
Was there someone for you to stay?
Yeah.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
There's a place, I got this 2 days.
So you weren't just coming here just to stay on the street and do your visas?
Yeah, no, actually, it was Yeah, but the place that I was staying for is for only two days.
Yeah.
So the next few days, I was in backpackers.
Yeah.
Just putting my bag, pulling it over the street. And yeah, but I was just doing my visa and stuff. But yeah, I just put it on my Facebook. Hey, I'm in Sydney.
Yeah.
I just put that. And then some of my friends just came and picked me up and take me like overnight to see some place in like Opera. I was like, whoa, man, it's crazy.
And unreal. Then so your friends saw your Facebook post came in?
Yes, came in. Yeah, they're my Facebook friends. Like they just, when they saw it, like they came and picked me up and like, hey.
What an adventurer.
Yeah, hey. It is, yeah, man.
Going straight into the, well, not jungle, but you know.
Yeah.
A bit of unknown. And
yeah, to the concrete city, man. Like it's crazy.
What a good example for, you know, kids back home. Just to follow their dreams, whatever it is. Even though the people closest to you may not see a future in it, you saw it yourself. And, you know, I wouldn't say similar for me because I had a lot of support in terms of family driving me to footy training. My mum, who was my auntie at the time, I called her my mum because she looked after me. She would drive me to cricket training, footy training. So she always had that. You know, I don't know if she had the belief that I'd make it to top grade, but she wanted to make sure that I had education first, make sure I studied in high school, make sure I get my HSC scores up, which I didn't really. I was more interested in sport. But, you know, she always supported me. But for you, it's slightly different because you're doing something that not many people see as a, I guess, career. And so for you to push through that and continue and then, you know, end up here where today you're revealing one of your paintings.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about that and what's happening today?
Yeah. Today, I'm here in Brisbane to do a reveal of a portrait I did like a few months ago. And it's of a QUT elder in residency. He looks after Aboriginal community and in the campus. So the land in the river, the Brisbane River, is his land and stuff. And he is like one of the first Aboriginal to go out to be educated and like to pursue things that, I mean, to give hope to other, you know, Aboriginal like communities. And so I was given this, like, kind of, it's quite a big honor to that, you know, they recommend me to paint, to be in one of their portrait gallery. So it's actually one of my biggest, I would say my biggest commission, not in a way that commission, but it's like a, it's a dream that I wanted to do something like that, which is to do something, to do paintings where it's prominent, I like it, it, yeah, and meant something.
And meaningful to someone, yeah.
Yes. And I was, so thankful to be given this opportunity to paint him. So today, I'm here to reveal the painting. So I don't know, there'll be like 50 guests or something like that. And
how many people have seen it so far?
What I know is that the chancellor and a few curators have seen it.
Yeah.
So no one has seen it yet. So yeah, it's gonna be a big reveal where just go open it up and open the cat and oh yeah, that's a painting.
What's the name of the person you're revealing today?
His name is Gregory Hebert. But they call him like Uncle Chag,
yeah,
in the campus. Yeah, so he's a legend in his way. So I'm so excited to sewing the painting today, and I'm also a bit nervous because it's a
nervous. What are you nervous for?
Like, I mean, you gotta give a 5-minute speech. Like,
oh yeah, are you prepared for it?
I mean, it's gonna come naturally.
Well, you know what? You're talking for 1 hour today, so you 5-minute speech today will be nothing for you.
So that's what I'm gonna do today. So I'm kind of excited for.
Yeah. Are you nervous for his reaction too, or?
I am so nervous on his reaction. Honestly, like I'm there's some other people who see it and stuff and they're happy, but the thing is the someone that you're painting, because their reaction, if they're happy, and then you've done your job. So if not, like that's the big I'm nervous for that.
Yeah. Have you ever had one where it's got kind of gone the opposite way that you thought?
Many times. Many times. that I have to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it motivate you, or do you go?
It's not motivating me at all. No way. No. It's not motivating when you do something and
it's taking you months.
Taking you months, and it can take you like longer than that. Like it's just. Sometimes it drains out all of your inspiration and you just don't want to paint at all. Yeah.
How do you react to that? How do you respond? Because that's a challenge in itself. And when it's not motivating you, how do you get up for it to keep going?
Yeah, so I just destroy it. The thing is that, I destroy it. No, it's kidding. I just destroy all.
Do you feel good from destroying it?
Yeah, just destroying it. I tried to let go of it, but luckily one of my friends helps me out in a way to. Like if you have any if you have this energy where you hate something, just destroy it. So I my first painting that I did, it was some few years ago, is that I destroyed the painting that I did so good, but I destroyed it. And along the line, try to do that. Like if
do, it, do you ever I, think like it, destroy it, you destroyed it, but maybe to someone it's worth $20,000 and
that's right. I know.
You just destroyed 20 grand right there.
That's right. It's on the spot. On the spot, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that's how you deal with it. You just go and destroy it and then restart.
Yeah, then restart from the scrap. Like that painting that I will reveal today, I painted it like 4 times. And
geez, I hope he likes it.
Yeah.
I hope he likes it.
I know. Far out. The painting took me 4 months and I painted it 4 times. On the same canvas, and I repainted it again, and the last one, the one that I was happy with, I only did that in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how crazy that is. Yeah.
Because I mean, it's only 3 weeks, but it still took you a lot of months to get to that point.
Yeah, to get to the point, that's the, that's the idea of painting is always.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I really like to do my own stuff instead of commission.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope, and I know you do well today, and I'm sure he'll be very happy with it. And hopefully you don't have to destroy it, because it's a lot of months of work in that.
No, I'm so happy. It's going to be good.
We took photos of me yesterday. You're going to do a painting of me sometime next year. So, I would like to see if you take a photo of the one you destroyed, can you take a photo of it, send it to me before you destroy it?
I will. You'll see all of it.
But I'm excited to see that. The work that you're doing, it's awesome. Your Instagram tag, I'll make sure I put it on the podcast notes and on my Instagram, Facebook as well. Hey guys, just going to take a quick break from this episode. I want to mention Cuts Clothing. They've been a sponsor of mine for a couple of months now, and now they're sponsoring the episode. So I just want to talk a little bit about them. So these guys make elite apparel for the modern professional. As you can see, I've got the polo on, the cap. I enjoy wearing them every day, and I like to put myself in that modern professional category. And so every cut shirt is designed to provide a perfectly tailored fit. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, polos, caps, hoodies, and more, so you can look and feel good no matter what the occasion is. Now, I wouldn't say I know too much about fashion, but one thing I do know is that Cuts have mastered the art and science of perfecting the men's tees. I wear these shirts for meetings, podcasting, catching up with friends at a cafe or a restaurant, or just when I'm at home spending time with my family. And because you guys are mindset listeners, Cuts have allowed me to give you guys 15% off your total order. Head to cutsclothing.com, that's CUTSclothing.com, and enter DavidMead15 at checkout. All right, let's get back into the episode. The type of painting you do, is what kind of painting would you call it?
They call it like hyper-realism.
Hyper-realism.
Hyper-realism, but I kind of call it like emotive realism, where it's mostly because you can see some brush strokes, you can see some like some, you know,
yeah,
stuff, you know, like it doesn't seem like if, when you get closer you will see that it's a painting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like to keep it way where, you know, you can feel that it's a painting, it's not,
yeah,
photograph. Yeah, but some hyper realism, it's like photo, you can't tell that it's a painting at all, it looks so much like photo. Yeah,
yeah. I guess everyone's got different interests in that space, interest, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's pretty competitive world, I'd imagine.
It is, yeah, yeah. The art world is so competitive. That's why you have to make your way up. You build your portfolio slowly. Do a lot of exhibitions, and yeah,
is that where you is that where like the top artists kind of make it? The more exhibitions they do.
Yeah, it's the more you put yourself out there, and you show your development in what you're doing, but at the same time what your heart speak about. So like for myself, you know, I speak, most of my works is all like, you know, I paint the faces of like the lost faces, I say, because the faces started to fade away. Like I paint up like hyperrealism of like indigenous Papua New Guinea and mm-hmm. the culture, because I felt like it's so unique and different, and I felt like that's what I felt like, it's my voice, and it's so different from, I see so many works like over time, and I felt like there's so much potential in, you know, in art world, in to show like our culture and stuff like that. So that's what I do, like I try to keep this face fragmented forever.
Yeah,
because there's some years time where, you know, it could work seeing, or you can make it with something of people, especially younger generation, they might turn back to it and try to meant something for them.
Yeah, yeah, so that's awesome, mate, because I guess, you know, you're trying to play your part in showcasing PNG to the world, because there's a lot of potential there,
mm-hmm.
A lot of hope that, you know, can be helped mm-hmm. to progress. To any kids out there who are listening who love what they do but probably think, it's probably not going to support me or my family. Is there any advice you have for them back home? Like, if you were to go back home, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say, like, if for me, my advice to, like, to young kids who pursue their dreams, or they wanted to, like, they have some talents that they want to show, but, you know, the industry is not, it's weak, and like, and you compare your situation, and that's the thing, you know, there's no support from family, or, because, and you see that there's no way to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's I believe that, like, one thing is to just persistence on what you're doing. And as a kid, like, if you're any kid out there who listen to it, like, just be patient in what you do, and try it. Like, you just, but one thing is that don't think about your area that you live, but your mind is like, just put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as because for myself, like, even though as a kid, I've seen a lot of like art from like Renaissance period, and appropriate all these paintings. Like, I do the same paintings. I just, like, I paint them. And, you know, even though we got the heart world in PNG, but I did not base on my work on, like, the concepts what someone have done before. But my mind was somewhere, like I'm thinking of a heart in Eurocenter, like art in like Europe, and that's what that you know kept me away from like from society. Like it becoming my escape. I create art to escape reality, like in a way. But it's because of that kind of motivation, or because of that kind of thought, where you just you put your mind in like in a different world. I would say like a different context of where you are. Then I believe that over time, you because you develop yourself, it's your the nature where you right now will it will not suit at you.
Yeah.
So it's somehow going to push you out there because you have your mind is focused on somewhere. Over, so it's naturally it will happen, and that's what I felt like, because I think I'm there.
It's like you've manifested the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like when you do overtime and you just you know constantly doing it, and yeah, and that would be my advice. It's like whatever field you are in.
I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah,
it's great advice for kids staying patient and you know, picturing where you want to go.
Mm.
Because it'll draw you closer. I remember as a kid in the village, you know, and you mentioned something about support from family.
Mm-hmm.
Your family does want to support you, but they've got their idea of what you should do
mm-hmm.
rather than your own idea. That's what you're going to be mm-hmm. battling against most of the time. Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid growing up in the village, and I used to watch NRL games, and the guys would be running the ball, and I'd pretend I had the ball, and I'd, you know, sitting on the on the floor, I'd pretend I'm getting the ball and running past someone, like imitating them a bit. Yeah. And then it got to a point where I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to play that sport one, that game one day. And then, like, my older brother is kind of like, yeah, rodeo, Dave, you know.
Yeah.
you know, just, you know, in a loving way, not in a I'm going to crush your dreams kind of way. But those little things can, you know, play a part. But I think that's in terms of family support. We can be a lot better as a culture like that, because everyone's got their idea of success as, you know, you got to go to uni, study, be a doctor, lawyer, accountant, whatever. But there are many other opportunities presenting themselves now through social media, internet, that you can create career out of, you know?
Honestly, yeah.
And whatever kids, if you've got some talent out there, my advice is go on social media, but don't consume so much. Watch and learn what others are doing, but don't be so consumed in the social media world. That's kind of a place where you can put up, create your brand, put out your store so you can invite people to come buy things. And with that comes a lot of responsibility. You got to behave in a certain way in the social media world because it's there forever. And sometimes if you're trying to create a brand and then, you know, you write things on there or you say things on there, people can come back and, especially jobs and stuff that you're looking for, they can come back and look at your social media account and see whether you're suitable for the job. So a lot of those things you have to consider. But social media will create an opportunity for many Papua New Guineans across the country, whether you're from, you know, the settlement area or, you know, in the city, in the village. There's a lot of opportunity there, and you can follow your dreams. You don't have to follow the normal path that's been created for the past generations.
That's true.
Yeah, that would be my advice for the kids. What are your hopes and aspirations for the future? I know you said you're kind of living the dream now. Is there anything that you have in the future you want to achieve?
Oh, yeah. My hopes and dream is one day to have a gallery somewhere, anywhere. We see so back home, suited back home, but then you have in a like an exhibition like overseas and stuff, and just wanted to create more work and wanted to get my message out there. And then I want to inspire a lot of like kids as possible. And yeah, to give back to the community back home. But yeah, at the moment I'm still feeling that I'm still learning myself and my capability and try to stretch as wide as I can. And trying to reach out there still dreaming at there.
What does a normal day look like for you now? Like in terms of like your artwork?
Yeah, most of my time, well, in the morning I didn't do much. Most of my time I just spend in my studio.
Yeah.
Just do sketches, little bit of sketches and stuff. And sometimes I do those checklist things like that. But yeah, most of my time I just sit and paint.
Yeah. And so you're just painting all day.
Painting all day, and yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite, you know, you thought it's lonely, but not really. It's beautiful.
I mean, it's, you know, I think if you can be alone in your own company, then you're in good company, I guess. Yeah. If you're sitting there and you're bored, mm-hmm. then you're probably not in good company.
That's right. Yeah.
So you got to change the story in your head. Yeah. Is there any favorite paintings of yours? Is there like a top three, top five?
Oh yeah, there definitely is. Number one will be Gaze. It's like a painting that I did in 1 week, but it's pretty much one of my masterpieces ever. And I try to, if I want to recreate the same kind of the moment when I painted, I still can't. So it's one of my best pieces ever, I would say. That's my number one. And two will be Golden Man. And I think three will be Maria's Bride Price. It's one of my earliest work.
Maria's Bride Price. Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, it's of my grandmother. Because I was looked after her for 1 year in my village and stuff. So it was kind of a very big inspiration to me. And I have to know about the story where my grandfather, when he wanted to get her.
Yeah.
And to compete in the soccer to win it. it's crazy, like in PNG, soccer, man. It's like something about, you know, how to mix like two different culture, like and traditional, and then talk about some culture, like a Western culture, to bring both together to create this family. Like, wow, that's crazy. So, but she didn't like it, so that's the thing.
Yeah.
She didn't like it, she didn't like another, but to win, winner is like true competition.
Yeah, it's true. Crazy, yeah. I guess that's the point anywhere like, in the world, really. Eh?
Yeah,
everyone's competing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Women. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's your grandfather was soccer.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I was talking to Justin Olam, not last year. Do you know Jazzy?
Of course.
So Jazzy was telling me, you know, stories about Bride Price back home where he grew up, and there's a Bride Price is pretty big in PNG. In my village, it's still gone, but it's a lot more monetary based rather than the old traditional ways of exchange. And I guess it's always going to change over time. Back where you're from, is there any similarities in that Bride Price space to what Jazzy's, or you know?
That's the same. It's same. Like you have to like women have to like together. You have to like an exchange of pigs and you know. But this thing where before, as a Bride Price, it's like a family of women gonna give something little to the guy's family.
Yeah.
And then they will be like, this is our demand now. So you're gonna come with like 10 times or like you're gonna, you know, they're gonna. So that's where like.
So it's an exchange for.
It's an exchange for, yeah.
For the bride.
Yeah, for the bride. Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah. Interesting concept, eh? Mm. It's countrywide. I mean, it's across like many different Pacific Island countries as well, but. Yeah, I've always found it pretty interesting, that Bride Price space. We're getting towards the end of the podcast, so we won't go into that.
Yeah.
As we get to the end, towards the end, Leslie, there are a few rapid fire questions. What's your favorite food?
Pizza.
Pizza? do you have a favorite quote or saying that you live by?
Oh yeah, live day by day, like enjoy every day by day. Yeah.
Is there a favorite artist in terms of music and drawing artist?
I've listened to so many music and stuff.
Yeah, not one in particular.
One in particular, yeah. Honestly. Yeah.
And in terms of painting art?
Painting, I draw myself through so many like different kind of artists and stuff, but I kind of like, at the moment, I like the artist of Marco Grassi and his detail and stuff. It's so beautiful, yeah.
If you were an animal, what kind of animal would you be and why?
I will definitely going to be a crocodile. I don't know why I say that. I always say that. If my mate sees it, they'll laugh because I say that again. So
is there a reason behind that?
I don't know, because they're creepy sometimes. They're just like hiding in the water. You can see them.
Just always hiding in one of their business, but when the prey comes along,
prey comes along, let's try it.
Take it, that's not a bad, you know. That's not bad. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
enjoy each day, every day, just relax, and then then go after it when the prey presents itself.
Strike when it comes to strike.
If there's three people you'd invite to a dinner, who would they be?
Is it going to be like someone where it can be imagination or?
Imagination, real or not real? This will be interesting.
I will bring back Michelangelo and Vincent Van Gogh, of course.
Vincent Van Gogh.
And and then then from the 20th century, it would be, Damien Hirst. And I just want to see them talking. And I want to see the time changes. And then they will ask each other, like, hey, Damien will be like, why are, like, Michelangelo done so much, so intriguing work? And yeah, all the heart changes. I want, like, they will contradict each other in a way. Like, I want to see, like, what are their perspectives of changes over time, you know? Yeah. So I want to learn from them.
And they're all from different times?
Different times, from the 1400, from the 1800, and from...
So you'd like to bring them all together?
Bring them all together.
And get their perspectives.
Have their perspectives on, like, how they want to contradict each other, like, how their heart changes.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it, eh? Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't know nothing about the art world, but those names are familiar because we had to study them in school. Leslie, thank you so much for, you know, making the time to be here today. I know you've got plans for the rest of the day. I really appreciate it. I wish you all the best for the reveal and getting that great reaction that I'm sure you'll be waiting for. And all the best with your 5-minute speech. I'm sure you'll conquer it like nothing. Is there any message you have for, you know, Papua New Guineans out there, maybe kids out there, for them to continue to aspire to take part in the art world?
Oh yeah, I would say just keep on doing what you love doing, and yeah, the world is crazy out there, but keep hold on to what you good at and see yourself as someone. Don't underestimate your potential as a human being. Life is once, and you have one try. So yeah, do it as best as you can, because you can't live a second life.
That is awesome. Enjoy it. Awesome, Leslie. I really appreciate your time today, and I love what you finished off with. One thing I'm going to take out of today is, you know, you're living in the village as a kid, but you're putting your brain overseas. You know, your mind overseas, and you know, you're drawing those places closer to yourself. You're certainly an example of that. I appreciate you sharing that today, and you know, that's the key message I'll take away from you. So thank you very much, and I look forward to the finished product of the painting.
Oh man, yeah, looking forward to it.
Thanks, brother. Awesome, thank you.
Thanks, my brother. Thanks.